Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please note that today's shiur begins the second line from the bottom of Daf Nun Aleph, Omid Beis at the Mishnah. We continue with Nedarim and terms and trying to figure what these terms include or exclude by way of the vow. Hanoder min hacholov, someone who swears or who vows not to benefit from milk mutar bakum. He is entitled to consume kum. Kum is whey. It's the liquid portion that separates from the thicker portion in the case of milk that's left to sit, most often in the context or in the framework of making cheese. So the oath for swearing benefit from chalav does not include kum, as far as the Tanakhama is concerned. Rabbi Yossi takes a restrictive approach, a stringent approach, that the kum is prohibited as well. Min hakum, one who swears or who vows not to benefit from kum, mutar b'cholov, is allowed to benefit from cholov. That, according to all opinions, kum does not imply or include milk. Abashol oimer hanoider min hagvina, one who swears or vows not to benefit from cheese, osir ba bein melucha bein tfela. He is prohibiting himself from cheese, whether it's salted or bland. Hanoder min habosar. The Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues at the top of Nun Beis Omid Aleph. Mutar b'roitiv u'bekipa. So if one vowed not to consume basar, meat, he's allowed to partake of the roitiv and the kippah. The Rosh explains, mutar b'roitiv u'bekipa, hainu dak dak basar. The word kippah is a reference to fragments, meat shreddings, little pieces of meat. For rotev hanikpe b'shulei haktera, rotev is understood as gravy or soup that congeals at the bottom of a pot. The mashma bosar dafka mashenikra bosar. The term bosar is only that which people call bosar, meat. And when a person says meat, they don't imply gravy or the kippah, the meat fragments or shreddings. Rabbi Yehuda Oser. Rabbi Yehuda says that since there is the taste of meat in the gravy and in the kippah, so it is included in basar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisiv Oser Lin Rabbi Tarfon, Beitzim Shinis Bashlu Imo. An incident took place where someone had vowed not to partake of basar, and Rabbi Tarfon forbade them from even eating eggs that were cooked with the basar, with the meat. Omru Lo, the Rabbonan who argued with Rabbi Yehuda, said, Kain Hadover, it's true the eggs are osir, Amosai, but when? Bizman Sheomar Basar Ze Olai. If a person says regarding a specific piece of meat, this meat is forbidden to me, what he in effect is doing is making the meat something prohibited. In other words, halachically speaking, that piece of meat is like a piece of swine, like a piece of pork. And therefore, the eggs that are cooked with it are like eggs cooked with pork, which you would not be allowed to eat. They've absorbed the prohibited taste. Shanoider min adavar v'nesarev bacher, one who vows not to partake of a specific item, and then it gets mixed up with something else that's allowed. Im yesh boi b'noisein tam, if the prohibited item imparts a taste to the permitted item, aser, the permitted item becomes forbidden. So that the idea of eggs becoming prohibited in the context of meat and vows, it would depend, according to the Chumim, and how the original vow was stated and the subsequent effect that would have on the eggs. So as far as the Chachamim are concerned, someone who simply forswore benefiting from meat in the general form, as opposed to specifying a specific piece of meat, the eggs in the general form would not be considered meat, but in the specific form, when a particular piece of meat was the subject of the vow and hence prohibited, any eggs cooked with it would be prohibited based on the concept of noisein tam, of having absorbed prohibited taste. Hanoder min hayayin muter b'tamshil sheyesh bo tam yayin. A person who vowed not to consume wine is allowed to partake of food that has that was cooked in wine, so the food has a wine taste to it. Omar kinim yayin ze she'eni tayim. If he phrased the vow thusly, that he's prohibiting a particular bottle of wine that he will not drink, the nofal letafshil, and some of that wine fell into a dish, a pot of food. Im yesh bo b'no sein tam, if the wine imparts a taste into the food cooking in that pot, hare ze osir. The food that absorbed the wine taste after this vow had been pronounced, so the food is prohibited. This is very similar to what we described before when you vowed prohibiting a specific piece of meat. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, and here the focus of the question is certainly with regard to Shitas Reb Yossi, and the Rashi and the Rosh, as opposed to the Ran, they learn that the kasha, that the question the Gemara is going to raise now, is actually not just on Reb Yossi, but it's on the approach of the Chachomim as well. And we'll try to be clearer as we go on in the Gemara text. But before we do the text, we do have a topic heading, and as we indicated, it's Liashev Stira, an attempt to resolve what appears to be a contradiction, B'shitas HaTanoim, within the Tanaic opinions, Binyan Nidorim Hakilun Dvorim Achirim, regarding vows that include other things, kegon hanodim in a cholov, one who vows not to consume milk, haim ze kolel kum, does that include the whey? So that's the example we already saw. And maybe to be a little more specific, we saw in such a case the Tanakama being lenient and Reb Yossi being restrictive. In other words, Reb Yossi will take the inclusive approach. That's what we saw in our Mishnah, Viraminu. And now we continue with the Gemara at the top line of Amud Beis, and it says, well, we seem to have a contradictory source. Min ho adoshim, a person vowed not to benefit from adoshim. Osur ba'ashishim, he cannot benefit from ashishim. In Gemara markings, in general, and we've mentioned this many times, certainly to those who are veterans of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, that we hesitate translating food and plants and animals unless we have a very solid tradition as to what they are. So in this case, we have something called adoshim. It's a type of vegetation. And many like to translate as adoshim as lentils, but I am not going to guarantee that translation. Needless to say, however, adoshim is some type of plant, most likely a legume from which you can make flour for baking purposes. So if a person vowed not to benefit from adoshim, the Tanakhama says, the first opinion says, he cannot partake of ashishim. And ashishim, the Rashi says at the top line, is lechem shmuruv boikemach shel adoshim. It's a type of bread, it's a baked item in which you find adoshim flour. Dekosovar ashishim bichlal adoshim heim. The Tanakhama holds that when you vow not to benefit from adoshim, that will include ashishim. How about someone, according to the Tanakhama, who vows not to benefit from milk? What was the Tanakhama's opinion with regard to the whey? He said the whey is allowed. So right away we see a seeming inconsistency vis-a-vis the Tanakhama. And furthermore, we continue in our Tanaic source here, Rabbi Yossi Matir. Person who vowed not to benefit from adoshim is allowed to benefit from ashishim, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned. So Rabbi Yossi here takes the limited approach. What about Rabbi Yossi regarding someone who vowed not to consume milk? According to Rabbi Yossi, he's not allowed to consume the kum, the whey, either. That too then would present a stira, seeming contradiction. The Gemara responds, loy kasha. Don't view this as a contradiction. Mar ki asrei, umar ki asrei. Each opinion follows the speech of his locale. Asrei means his place. Be'asur de Rabbonon, in the town of the Rabbonon, in the location of the Rabbonon, of the opinion that we refer to as the Tanakhama, koru l'chalbo, chalbo l'kumo, kumo. When it comes to the dairy realm, milk is limited to milk, and is exclusive of whey, and whey is called whey, and not milk. So that if you vow not to benefit from cholov, from milk, you're not including the kum. Be'asre d'Rabbi Yossi, l'kumo nami koru l'kumo d'chalbo. In Rabbi Yossi's locale, the term kuma is not used in isolation, but it's a compound expression. It's called kuma dechaba, the way of milk. W-H-E-Y. The way of milk. And hence, when you vowed not to consume milk, that will include anything that has, as part of the as part of its name, milk, as the Gemara just described. So that's as far as setting up the opinions of, in our Mishnah, milk and kum. If you look in the Rosh and other Mephorshim as well, the Rashi as well, complete the picture. Similarly, with regard to the Adoshim and the Ashishim, and if we look in the Rosh together, about halfway down the Rosh commentary, we have a little star. V'chein ba'Adoshim. Likewise, with regard to Adoshim, ba'Asur d'Rabbonon. In the town of the Rabbonon, who had said that if you vow not to benefit from Adoshim, you're prohibiting yourself from Ashishim. Why? Because in the Rabbonon locale, Koru Ashishim, Ashishim de Adoshim. Because in the Rabbonon's locale, these Ashishim cakes are referred to as Ashishim of Adoshim. And the opposite is the case with regard to Rabbi Yossi in his locale. We continue in the Gemara, Tanya, Hanoider min hecholov mutar bekum, min akum mutar becholov. One who vows not to benefit from milk, not to consume milk, is allowed to consume kum. One who vows not to consume kum, the whey, is allowed to consume milk. Min hecholov mutar begvina, min agvina mutar becholov. One who vows not to consume milk is allowed to consume cheese. not to consume cheese, you're allowed to consume milk. Min ha-roitav muta b'kipa, min ha-kipa muta b'roitav. These terms we saw before in the meat context. One vows not to consume gravy, he's allowed to consume the kippah, the meat fragments that accumulate at the bottom of a pot. If one vowed not to consume kippah, he's allowed to consume gravy. Im omar boser ze olai osur bo uvarotvo ubekipo. If a person said the expression boser ze olai, the result of that will be that he cannot eat the meat, nor the gravy, nor the kippah. Hanodir min ayayin, muter betavshil sheyesh bo tam yayin. If a person vowed not to drink wine, he's allowed to consume food that has absorbed a wine taste. Omar kinim yayin ze she'eni tayim. If a person vowed that I am not going to partake of this wine, v'nofel letoch hatavshil, and some of the wine in the bottle that he prohibited, some of that fell into a pot of food. Imyesh bo tam yayin hareza osur. If that food has absorbed a wine taste, it's a wine taste coming from that specific wine that he had prohibited upon himself, that food becomes prohibited as well. The Mishnah. Hanoider min huanova muter b'yayin. A person vows not to consume grapes, he is allowed to consume wine. If he vowed not to consume olives, he's allowed to consume olive oil. If a person phrased the vow that way, he said, I restrict myself from consuming these olives and grapes. Osir bohen uveyotze mehen. He cannot consume those grapes nor olives, and he cannot consume the oil or wine made from them either. Boi Romi Bar Chamo. With regard to the last point mentioned in the Mishnah, and we have some dashed underlining that you might note, Romi Bar Chamo asks, in order for the vow to actually restrict the yotzimahen, the liquids, the oil, and the wine, which language aspect of the vow is the trigger of the prohibition, or is responsible for the prohibition? Elu dafka o she'eni to'ein dafka? Which of these expressions, when he says kainim zeisim vanovim elu, would that be enough to restrict him from the wine and oil that results from those zeisim vanovim? Or kainim zeisim vanovim she'eni tayim, would that be enough to restrict the yotzei mehen? That's basically Romi Bar Chama's question. We have a bracketed section. If you skip the bracketed section, Omarova Toshma, the diamond introduces an attempt to answer that question. So, as far as the attempt to answer Romi Bar Chama's question, you have to wait till after the bracketed section. Within the brackets, the Gemara focuses on one side of Romi Bar Chama's question. So we have, we'll say, within the brackets, an analysis of the question. After the brackets, we have the Gemara attempting to answer Romi Bar Chama's question. With that having been said, let's go now into the bracketed section. E salka daitoch elu dafka. If you were to take the side that all that's needed in order to prohibit the yotze mehen, the shemen and yayin, the oil and wine, is the word elu. In other words, the vower would say kainim zeisim vanovim elu. So if that's the dafka, the specific word that prohibits the yotze mehen, that which exudes forth from them, she'eni toyeim lomali. What's the purpose of the Mishnah adding she'eni toyeim? The Mishnah was trying to teach how by referring to the Zeisim Anovim, which will prohibit the Yotze Mehen. So why does the Mishnah add, if Elu is enough, why does it add the phrase She'eni Toyeim? The Gemara answers, the Mishnah would be teaching us the following. If you have someone that said, even though he said She'eni Toyeim, only if he adds the word Elu, would the Yotze Mehen, would the liquids be prohibited. Velo, if he doesn't add that, lo. Then by saying merely She'eni Toyeim, that would not be enough. So this is an analysis of Rami Barachama's question on a theoretical level. Theoretically, if Elu was enough, so what was the purpose of the Mishnah adding She'eni Toyeim? And we just saw the answer to that. But now, bottom line, we still want to know which expression is the trigger or the catalyst for imposing the prohibition on wine and oil as well. So, Omar Rava Toshma, the diamond shape that you see here, and if you skim down the page, you can see we have a number of additional ones. On the side of the Gemara, we've written under the Nosei Mivne heading in our margin of the marked Gemaras. By the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. What the diamonds do is they're Nisyonis, we've written on the side, Nisyonis Lipshoit HaSheela, attempts to answer the question, Haim Elu Dafka O She'ani Toyeim Dafka, k'day shegam hayotzem ticholel b'neder. Which of these expressions is binding in order to prohibit the liquids that come forth? B'mi shomar in regarding someone who said kainim zaysim elu she'eni toyeim osir b'en uviyotzem mehen. Regarding that which we saw in the Mishnah, which expression is necessary for including, in order for the vow to include the Yayin and Shemen? So Omar Rava, Toshma, we're at the first diamond, and we're quoting from what we refer to here as the Reisha. We're going to refer later, the next diamond, to the Seifa, hence we've added that point now. So it says in the following Tanaic source, which is really a Mishnah that appears on Daf Nun Zayin, Kainim Peros Ha'elu Olai. He doesn't mention She'eni Toyeim. He says, Kainim Peres Ho'elu Olai. Kainim Hein Lepi. Or he uses that expression, Asur B'chilufein U'vegidulehen. What becomes prohibited is anything that is offered in exchange for these fruits. Person says, referring to a bowl of fruits that sits on his table, I prohibit them upon myself. The result is that those fruits, if they're, let us say, sold and you get money in exchange for it, that's chilufein, the money is prohibited to you. And if you plant those fruits and new growth develops, those will be prohibited as well. But now we can infer. Ha b'yotze mehen mutter. If the fruits are processed into liquid, oil or wine, that would be okay. What do we see then? That the use of the word elu is lav dafka. It's not the essential word in order to prohibit the liquids that exude forth. So you would then conclude, if you were to stop here, that in order to include in the vow the liquids, you would have had to say she'eni toyeim, kainim peres elu olai she'eni toyeim. The Gemara says, no, don't conclude what we just suggested. Hu adin dafilu b'yotzmen osir. As far as a person who said kainim peres ha'elu olai, that would prohibit the yotzimahen, the liquids that come forth from them as well. You'll ask, so why wasn't mention made in the source of that? The ha adifa le'lashminen. The source had a specific agenda. It was more important. It was better. It was for it to teach that by saying kainim peres ha'elu olai, that even the chilufeyen and the gidulehem are prohibited. And we look at Rashi together. A few lines down, ho adifa shmina de chilufen afal gav de lau hafu gufayu. Even though the chilufen are, it's money that you get in exchange for the fruits, even though it's not the actual fruits, kigidumin damu. It's halachically like the growth that comes forth from it. If you planted it, that certainly would be usur. So this source had a specific agenda to emphasize the prohibition on the chilufein, but not the purpose of this source was not to suggest that yoytzimehen would be mutter. Toshma, we try again to determine our Rami Bar Chama's question. We quote now from the Seifa, the continuation of that Mishnah. She'eni oichel v'she'eni toyem. Mutter b'chilufein uvigiglem. If he says kainim peros she'eni oichel or she'eni toyem, he is allowed to benefit from the chilufin and the gidulin, the exchange and the growth. We can infer ha hayoytse mehen oser, but the liquids that exude forth, that would be prohibited. So what do you see? You see that the she'eni to'eim expression is the key expression. That's dafka. That's the expression that will prohibit the shemen and the yayin, the exusion. The Gemara says, don't conclude that. That's not, in other words, that's not what this source is trying to tell me. But rather, aidi delo nosiv bereisha yoytze mehen, since the reisha didn't speak about the yoytze mehen, lo nosiv nami seifa yoytze mehen. The seifa doesn't make mention of the yoytze mehen either. In theory, though, if you have the seifa, so just like the sheini toyim leaves the chilufin and gidulim as allowed, it could be that the yoytze mehen would also be allowed. Toshma. Omar Rabbi Huda, Maisiv also Rabbi Tarfin, Vos Rabbi Tarfin Olai, Beitzim Shinizbashlu Imo. The case that we saw in the Mishnah of someone having prohibited himself from meat, Rabbi Tarfin said that you cannot partake of the eggs that were cooked together with the meat. Omru lo kein hadavar. The Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yehuda, that's true, that the eggs cooked with meat could become prohibited, but emosai, when is that? Bisman shomar boser zeh olai. Now here we want to emphasize that the term zeh is the singular form of the word elu. So it's like saying, it's like we saw before in the Rami Bar Chama's question, which was a reference to the Mishnah, who a guy said, someone said, Kainim Zaysim Vanofim Elu. So this is a parallel case. Boser Ze Olai is like the case of Zaysim Vanofim Elu. And the result of saying Boser Ze Olai, Shanoidim in Adovar, Vinisarav Biachir, Viesh Boy Benoy Seitam. A person vowed not to benefit from a specific item, and that prohibited item that he imposed the prohibition on himself. It then got mixed in with other food that is permitted. But in that other food, the Yesh Bo Benoiseng Tam, there is a perceptible taste of the item concerning which you vowed, Hare Zeoser, the other item becomes prohibited. What do we see from this? We see that when you say Elu, that creates an isur that extends to other things. You will find that the Tosfos commentary hones this point to a precise point of clarity. Four lines from the bottom of the Tosfos commentary, Boser Ze Olai, Oser Beno Seitam, as we saw in the source, if you phrased your vow basar ze'olai, things that are cooked with the basar, that absorb the basar, the meat taste, those items are asur, are forbidden also. Umedami yoisemehen, what the Gemara is doing is comparing the original question that Rami Bar Chama raised concerning the Mishnah's law of yoitse mehen lenoisein tam. The fihechi de osra de nafshe ki de omar boser ze olai benoisein tam. Just like when someone says boser ze olai, things that have boser taste that are cooked with the boser that you prohibited are also prohibited. Hachinami osur yoitse mehen. Likewise, yoitse mehen, the exusion from the from those items would also be prohibited. And the word vizeh, the word bosur zeh, we said olai, that word zeh, hainu kamo elu, like the word elu that we saw in the Mishnah, as we mentioned before, zeh is simply the singular form of elu. Alma, what we see from this, the be'elu mitzar yoitse mehen, that the elu expression is the key word for having the vow include also the liquids that exude forth. Well, the Gemara continues. We're not finished with this discussion. The Gemara says, "Bielu lo kome baya lon de dafku." As far as the word, the use of the word elu is not even a point of question. Rami Bar Chama wouldn't have raised a question concerning the effectiveness or the results of the word elu. In other words, it's clear that elu includes, if you say koinin peris elu olai, that will certainly include the liquids that exude forth. Ki mebayalon, the question that is raised by Rami Bar Chama is b'sheni toyim dafka oy lav dafka. What about using that expression? If a person were to say koinim peros she'eni toyim, will that include the yotze mehen or not? Toshma. So here we have an attempt to answer. And the unusual looking diamond that you see here is because up till now, the first three diamonds were evaluating the expression of elu as well. In other words, we were judging both expressions up till now. At this point, we say that we don't have to investigate both expressions. It's the one expression is clear. It's not part of any doubt, but only one expression, and that's what we're going to focus on now. So, what does it say in the source? Dog dogim she'eni toyim. Here he doesn't use the word elu. He says dog dogim she'eni toyim osur bohen bein derlim bein tanim bein chayim bein mevusholim umuter. For our purposes, we don't have to go over the details, we've already learned them, but we want to focus on the dashed underlining. We see a person using the expression she'eni toyim, and we see that it will not include the tzir. The tzir is the brine, that's an example of something that comes forth from the fish. So that the she'eni toyim expression is lav dafka. It's not the dafka, the key expression that would impose prohibition on yotze mehen. The Gemara rejects this. Omar Rava, ukvar yotza mehen. This source that says mutter betaras trufa betir, this is a reference to someone that had prepared fish brine before he ever vowed. So the man has brine in his possession, and then he vows dog dogim sheni toyim. In a case like that, true, the brine is allowed. However, if he has no brine and he were to say dog dogim sheni toyim, the brine that would be forthcoming might very well be prohibited. And we look in Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Omar Rava, Tritz. You can re-explain. Hode Katoni Muter Betzir. The declaration of the source that one is allowed to partake of the tzir, the brine, shekvar yotzaman kodim shenoder. It's brine that came before he ever vowed. Lahachi mutter, and that's why that brine is allowed. Aval im lahachar shenodar yotzaman. But if you have a person who first vowed and then the brine issued forth, the oilam eim aloch the osir, I will tell you that brine would be prohibitive, sheni toim dafkin, that the sheni toim expression is effective in prohibiting the yotze mehen, that which exudes forth. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you're interested in accessing marked gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.